the 58104's fastest growing podcast. It's the legend. And the loudmouth.
Good morning, it's time, anywhere you are, by whatever method you are listening and socially distancing, we thank you for choosing this podcast. Grant, good morning.
It's early.
It is early. It's a very early day. But we are committed to bringing quality product, no matter what day of the week, what time it is, because it's time, that's why.
It's 6:22.
So, that's why we got to, everybody up.
You kicked my door open this morning.
I'm fired up today. It's early morning,
yeah, you
baby.
You can have this hour. I don't.
Welcome to the real world, kid. A little reveille for you. If you're in the military, you probably just jumped out of bed and...
Tent hut right there.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You want to make sure you get the day rolling. Welcome to Legend in the Loudmouth, the October 13th edition, as we record this in the morning. We had football games, we had things going on last night, so we're doing the early get-up edition here, as Grant likes to call it. So we had some interesting results from the NFL weekend we'll talk about. We'll talk a little cottage football, briefly recap the Major League Baseball playoffs, and we have to talk about the NBA Finals, which is finally over. Thank God. So glad that that's over with. And actually, we've got Tuesday Night Football to preview as well. A strange, only in 2020 type of thing. The last Tuesday game, I believe, since Vikings Eagles of the Blizzard.
Yes.
Low these many years ago.
I want to say that's true.
Is that right? I don't know if that's right.
I don't know.
But that's what we're getting towards anyway. Well, let's, Grant, we don't really need to waste any time. Let's get right into talking about the National Football League. Let's talk Vikings. Let's get it out of the way.
Yeah.
Because...
I'm okay talking about this one because I'm not pissed that we lost that game by any circumstances.
No, and I think Mike Zimmer's call
was
to
go
for it
was the perfect decision.
Was absolutely and unequivocally correct. Seahawks win 27-26, as you no doubt know by now. Russell Wilson with a 2 fourth downs on the drive, the last being the touchdown pass to DK Metcalf. I can't fault the Vikings for doing what they did. If Alexander Mattison goes one hole to the right,
yeah,
it's a first down and the game's over.
AC Games doesn't block the guy and falls backwards, and yeah, he probably gets it. But.
If the defense covers on 4th and 10, it's probably over. So many things had to go right for the Vikings to win. They got about 9 out of 10 things that needed to happen.
Cook would have gotten that first down. Let's be honest here. If Cook's in the game, that's a first down. But Madison does a lot of experience in those situations. It can like to bite him in the ass. But anyway, you think about it, would you have kicked the field goal to go up 8?
No. I absolutely 100% agree. And then the stats and the analytics.
Yeah, the analytics say
out.
You should have done it.
So the analytics say exactly you should. It's the execution that, of course, is the bugaboo. And listen, I said that the Vikes season was over anyway. What do you got to lose?
It's not over by any circumstances, Dad. Mm-hmm. There's only two games they could lose. There's the Packers, and then there's the Buccaneers. They can win the rest of the
year. If you think the Vikings are only going to lose 2 more games the rest of the year, you are on drugs. It must be the hour.
If they're getting beat by only 1 point by a 5-0 football team, I think they'll be okay for
Here's the thing. Now, for the Vikes to make the playoffs, they would have to, on the best-case scenario... Best case now, so they were 1-4, all right? They're going to have to run out and go only lose 2 more games.
Yeah.
And maybe 3 more. Maybe 9-7 gets you in. Maybe. Because you know there aren't going to be wild cards out of the East, which we'll get to later. You know that the South is probably going to have at least 2 with Tampa and... New Orleans.
Maybe.
Okay.
That's a big maybe on New Orleans.
New Orleans escapes last night. We'll get to that.
No. I don't think they're a playoff team.
They will be in this conference. Oh, yeah. Because Atlanta's not making it, obviously. And we all know that Carolina might be your sneaky team. But the Vikes, we play them, right? Do we play Carolina this year?
Yes.
Okay. So, and the Bears, who have the Shamrock in their shoe, are gonna get in. They only need to win. They only need to go 500 the rest of the way.
You know the Lions are making the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know,
so the Vikes are gonna have to sweep the Lions and sweep the Bears.
The Cardinals are a maybe at the most.
Yeah. And the 49ers are no guarantee. We'll get into all these games here, but back to the Vikings itself. I thought they played about as perfect a first half as you could possibly play, and they still only led 13-0. And that's not a criticism. It's just they needed to find another way to work a touchdown in there, and they never did.
There's one really glaring flaw in the defense. It's that the Vikes are not a very good drop back passing team. They just aren't. Kirk needs the play action in order to get a pass off. If it's just a straight up pass, we're not as good. The Vikes aren't good on offense.
The only other call that really bothered me in this game was the 2-point call with Cousins.
Yeah, the quarterback draw. I have no idea why.
Kirk Cousins ain't no runner. Yeah. I hate to break this just in. Kirk Cousins is not a running quarterback. It's just weird because even on his best day,
he tries to be like he runs the read option once every 3 years and he runs the quarterback sweep on a 4th-and-2, but that's not the right play call.
Even on his best day,
he ain't getting.
Kirk Cousins is not going to beat Bobby Wagner in a matchup the middle.
Yeah, he ain't beating KJ Wright at the corner. Let's put it that way.
Great game by Dalvin Cook again, though. This is what you pay for with Dalvin Cook. You get great production,
and then you get
the groin or the hammy or the whatever. I thought Alexander Mattison did one hell of a job. He looks like the real deal, and he was running hard. Mike Boone even got some play, ran hard. The running game was phenomenal.
But
Drew Samia is an idiot.
Jesus Christ.
He's not going to be on this roster next year.
He's ranked dead last in guards and dead last in linemen and according to Pro Football Focus.
You're the big Pro Football Focus guy, so you tell me.
No, I'm just stating facts. He's last in both.
You can't have a running game.
Can't you start Ezra Cleveland? Like, why? Why not?
Well, eventually that line is going to get revamped. And that's fine. And again, for this year, it doesn't matter because the Vikes aren't going anywhere. Daniil Hunter's neck is his neck.
He's out. He's pretty much. He's not going to play.
They're not going to have their full pass. I think when you get Ngakoue and Hunter Michael Pierce.
I'm not trying to sell like next year already, but I'm really looking forward to next year because this team is going to be really good next year.
Yeah, the problem is Kirk Cousins will still be the quarterback. And that's the problem.
Unless a guy named Trey Lance is drafted in the top 15.
Well, I'll get to that. If they keep playing like this.
We got a real shot.
Yeah, the Vikes are going to win some games with this team, but it's going
to
be...
They had such a brutal start to the schedule, too. They play playoff teams every single one of them.
Right.
Minus Houston, of course.
Right. And they've lost to everybody that theoretically they should have lost to at this point in the year.
If you don't have a fumbled snap against Tennessee, if you don't have a screwed up defense on 4th-and-10 against Seattle...
Well, but that's the NFL.
But that's just the NFL being the NFL.
Right. Let's go back to Thursday night where Tom Brady is still trying to figure out what down it is.
Hey, Tom, you're out of downs.
It's a weird game. Bears win. I think the Bears have won every conceivable way you can against either bad teams or catching the teams on the right time. This isn't a 4-1 football team, but yet they win 2019 over the Bucks.
It's Foles and Brady. Of course, Foles is going to win. Wait, what?
Pathetic. The Bears are a sorry excuse for a 4-1 team, yet they keep winning. And
you think the Vikes can beat the Bears?
Do I think the Vikes? Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm not going to say yes until Kirk beats the Bears because Kirk's 0-4 against Chicago.
I think that's because Khalil Mack makes his life miserable.
Khalil Mack kills him every single time. Of course, nobody can block him. So somebody's got to block him.
So Bucks are a confusing 3-2, and I think that's going to be for the Bucks this
They'll
year.
They'll be fine.
Let's go to Sunday's games. Panthers 23, Falcons 16. Legend picked this one correctly. Not sure what.
Matt Ryan, goal line interception, your coach gets fired. Boy.
Yes, Dan Quinn summarily dismissed following the game that evening.
And then the GM was fired.
So Raheem Morris now will take over as interim coach. Thomas Dimitrioff, the GM, is fired. Teddy Bridgewater does enough to win.
Did enough, baby.
Mike Davis,
That's Teddy Bridgewater's career. good enough.
Good enough. And the Panthers are good enough. They are 3-2, and they are going to be a factor in this NFC race. More interestingly, the Falcons, who I thought would play much better on offense. No Julio Jones. Calvin Ridley hasn't been the same. Todd Gurley looks like he's running okay. But this team is in free fall. They're 0-5, Grant, and Raheem Morris will now be the interim coach as they face the Vikes next week. I think it was time. I don't think Dan Quinn could survive another few games like that.
No, he only survived last season because the players rallied around him and won him a couple of games, so he kept his job. But since the Super Bowl season,
28-3, man.
Yeah. It's just like your defense was good for one season after you dumped Mike Nolan as defensive coordinator. You were good for 1 year. Your team just so slowly sucked from there on out.
Think Quinn gets fired if they would have won that Super Bowl?
No.
If they would have won the Super Bowl and he has the same start,
he'd still be here.
Yeah, I think he would too.
Yeah, if your coach, like, if Zimmer wins the Super Bowl, I'd keep him till he's 80 years old. Like,
right.
Right. Whichever the first coaches win the Super Bowl, they're gonna get a statue outside US Bank Stadium, and they're probably gonna be here till 85 years old.
Yeah, I agree.
Seriously.
Upset.
We're desperate.
Upset of the weekend. Raiders 40, Chiefs 32. Didn't see this coming.
No.
I guess I was more surprised that the Raiders...
No, but Derek Carr won hell of a day, which probably doesn't help.
The Raiders
help the Chiefs.
The Raiders scored 40, and I hate to say it this way, but they held the Chiefs to 32. Strange game overall.
Yeah, I just think... I don't know what... Because the offense was fine. The Chiefs' offense is just doing its thing. It's like we watch at the end of the game, Mahomes is still driving the team down the field, and he throws the pass to Travis Kelce. Like, how the hell is he open? Mm-hmm. He runs around the pocket, gets out of the pocket, goes towards his own sideline, sidearm pass to Kelce. I'm like, how in the hell did you get that?
The Chiefs have an interesting... They have a game like this or two in the last few years where it just doesn't quite go right.
And yeah.
I'm not really sure why. It's the defense seems to have one of those games where they just don't quite do enough, and that's strange considering this team. But when's the last time that I don't know when the last time the Chiefs got outgained, but they did 490 to 413, and they had 10 penalties, which was also pretty huge in the game.
I know that Andy Reid had a losing record against the Raiders as Chiefs head coach.
Oh, I very well could be.
I thought he did.
I guess I don't know the answer to that, but Mahomes did his usual Mahomes thing. They didn't run the ball very well. Edwards-Helaire only had 40 yards. Like you said, Kelce had his big day. I know there was one shot to Tyreek Hill that got called back because of a penalty. And it just didn't look completely crisp. And maybe as a team, you have games like that where now the undefeated... Because I was actually wondering, like, oh, man, who's going to beat him? Well, that's off the table. And that's such a huge win for the Raiders in the terms of getting them into playoff positioning and a wild card spot, and that'd be a big progress for John Gruden's team. Josh Jacobs, man, every time I watch that, I tell you what, man, every time I see that guy run that ball, he is a bowling ball. He can get 3 yards, he can get 10 yards, 50 yards. It doesn't matter how many yards you need. Josh Jacobs gonna get those yards. Henry Ruggs, by the way, fun player to watch.
Yeah, when he's healthy.
Yeah, well, yeah, guys like that.
Such a Raider player, though.
It's always a health issue.
I mean, he's an Al Davis pick,
right?
Fast, can run like hell, can run the go out really well. He's a Raider receiver.
He is.
It's just like
in every sense of the word.
Yeah, I don't think he would have been the first receiver off the board, but it's just I don't think he's better than Justin Jefferson or CeeDee Lamb, but oh well.
Cardinals 30, Jets 10, and a completely predictable result.
Yep.
The Jets are terrible.
It's the Jets.
I mean, honestly, it's just painful to watch. And Joe Flacco, God bless him, tried to do the best he could, but it was bad. And
bad is an understatement.
I don't see much hope in the future here for the Jets as they roll their way towards the number one pick. But I think the Giants are going to win a game before the Jets do. Spoiler alert.
Yeah, but who are they going
to
beat?
But Flacco, I mean, he just doesn't have any weapons. He doesn't have anything to work with, and that was an ugly experience overall.
Who are the Giants going to beat?
Well, they'll beat Washington or somebody like that.
Maybe. That's a big maybe.
I'm not convinced, again, that the Jets have a winnable game anytime soon here that's coming up.
And they'll play each other this year, because sometimes they play each other on like a yearly basis. So.
The Jets, now, again, looking at the Jets schedule.
There could be two 0-16 teams.
Dolphins, Bills. Now that these some of these games have moved now, so Dolphins, Bills, Chiefs, Patriots. 0-6, 0-7, 0-8, 0-9. Chargers, that's 0-10. Dolphins, 0-11. Then it's Raiders, Seahawks, Rams, Browns,
Who gave them that schedule? That's just ridiculous.
I'm telling you right now that 0-16 is not an unreasonable proposition.
I'm sorry, for a last place team? That's awful.
I mean, every team, if you look at this, and even the Chargers who are...
bad for them.
Even the Chargers who are 1-4...
They almost beat New Orleans.
So they are, yeah. This is a bad football team.
And a bad schedule,
yeah,
too.
And even if the Dolphins are on there twice, which is probably, I think, their best chance to win, that's no gimme, given what we saw here. Arizona, just to get to them real quick, they're 3-2. It's a weak 3-2. We'll find out how good they are when, and now they've got the Cowboys coming up next week, and then they've got the Seahawks. We'll see how good they are, because then they go... So, Cardinals, Seahawks, Dolphins, Bills, Seahawks again, Patriots, Rams. If they can get to the end of the season, Grant, they got Giants, Eagles, Niners. This is a playoff team. If they can get past the gauntlet of the next few.
I don't think they're going to have to beat Seattle or the Rams, though. That's my only problem with the Cardinals.
Reasonable.
I think that, which, and Chandler Jones is out for the year too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Yep. So that hinders their defense more. I don't think it's a great defense they have.
It's
an okay defense, but I think that the Rams are a much better team. I think the Seahawks are way better than both of those teams. But the Cardinals, they're okay. They're a weird football team to figure out, because they're really good at 2-0, and they lost to the Lions. Like, You're not supposed to lose to the Lions. I'm sorry, you just can't lose it. Just a day to honor any circumstances.
Steelers 38, Eagles 29. Chase Claypool show here.
Nice fantasy wire pickup.
Yeah, exactly. Boy, he had a nice game, and the Steelers didn't exactly knock anybody's socks off otherwise. But Steelers are just one of those teams. They grind. They grind some more, and they're 4-0. And again, this isn't exactly like they've beaten Murderer's Row here. They've beaten the Giants, the Broncos, the Texans, and the Eagles. Ugh.
Yeah, they're 4-0 over the first time since 1979.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it. Those are four terrible. The Vikings would be 4-0.
No, here comes your next four. Browns, Titans, Ravens, Cowboys.
They will lose at least one of those games.
They'll lose at least one, maybe two. But if they get through this stretch even 2-2... They go 6-2, and then they go Cowboys, Bengals, Jaguars. Ugh. And then they've got Washington
That's
on the schedule
yet. That's
such
an easy schedule.
I don't think there's much doubt that the Steelers are going to make the playoffs. The question is can they win the division in a stacked AFC North?
Seriously, who makes these schedules? The Steelers have such an easy schedule.
Well, that's just the way, you know how the league is. It works out from the previous year. It's just the way in your standings sit.
How the hell do the Jets get that schedule then?
Well, it just happens to be the year that the Jets happen to play these teams. I mean, it's, you know, just because other teams have improved, too. I mean, the Jets have stayed where they are. Let's talk about the Eagles quick. 1-3-1. You're certainly not out of the East, but...
The saving grace is the tie.
Yeah, but now they go, and they've got to play the Ravens next week.
Ooh, 1-4-1.
Yeah, then it goes Giants, Cowboys... Giants again.
Win.
So they've got a chance to get themselves healthy, but they're probably... It's not going to be this coming week. It's going to be tough.
Without Dak in the lineup for the Cowboys...
As long as Philadelphia can hang one game back, they've got a shot.
Yeah. Because you know that the Giants ain't catching you, and Washington is catching you.
Probably lose. You would think anyway.
So I'm just assuming that Wentz can pull this together. And the picks that he threw, some of them weren't his fault. The one over the middle, at the end of the game. If you were the Steelers, knock that down.
Yeah.
You don't need to pick it off and get yourself in your 60 yards of field position.
Philadelphia has, Wentz's new favorite receiver is Travis Fulgham, who's been the...
Another waiver wire pickup.
The guy, so that's the other guy you want on your roster this week. Let's talk about the Rams.
Hit that horn! Gotta get a new horn!
Rams dominate the Redskins, but the story of this game wasn't really...
Beep, 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 football team.
Oh, did I say Redskins?
Yeah.
Oh, Am I going to have to? Oh no! You know what? But because we are a non-edit show, I'm going to have to give myself the buzzer. Can't say that name, of course, because that's insensitive. I apologize. But Redskins.
Football team.
The football team.
Just change the name already. It's annoying.
Goes down to the Rams or the 30-10. Yeah. The story of this game, honestly, was not the Rams winning, but Alex Smith coming back.
And that's a win for everybody else.
That's comeback player of the year. They should just rename it the Alex Smith Award. I mean, honestly, tremendous story. And if you haven't watched the 30 for 30, I don't even remember what it was. If it's a 30 for 30, but the 30 30. Project 11 or whatever they called it on ESPN. That's one of the things I watched during the major part of the pandemic with no sports going on. Tremendous look back at Alex Smith's rehab and recovery. Phenomenal story, inspirational. Everyone has sensed the word, and Aaron Donald absolutely jumped on him.
Yeah,
and
on the third play, this great, clapping drive, gets sacked by Aaron Donald.
And then Aaron Donald comes to the sideline and says, "That guy's got a really strong leg," only he didn't use the word guy. It rhymes with Ducker.
Yeah.
Any way you slice it, Grant, that's a great story.
Yeah, it's a great story, but they got their ass kicked. I mean, the Washington just isn't a good football team.
No. No matter what you call them.
The Washington football team is not a very good football team.
They're not very good. The Rams are a pretty good football team.
I think they're back from being a dreadful 9-8, 9-7.
I don't think they're going to knock anybody's socks off, but, they're good enough. And I don't think they're going to go real deep in a playoff run or anything.
No.
But I think they're a good team. I don't think there's any question about it. Their defense has actually been pretty good. They are leading the NFC in points allowed. Least points allowed, I should say. And that's a pretty impressive statistic. They've only given up 90 points, which is pretty good. In fact, although that wouldn't be real great in the AFC.
Yeah, who have they played?
Well, again, you beat who's in front of you. They beat the Cowboys, they beat the Eagles, they lost to the Bills.
Yeah.
So they've really, and then they've beaten the Giants and Washington by not impressive margins. But look at the schedule again coming up. 49ers, Bears, Dolphins.
They will lose at least. They might win all three of those games. I think about it.
And they've got the Jets on the schedule, so that's a win, automatically. Washington, after that Philly win, hasn't gone anywhere, and they don't have a very productive offense, no matter who the quarterback is. So
the Washington's a great story because their coach, because of the quarterback. That's about all that. They're just a story, you know.
Ravens pummel the Bengals into submission, 27-3, in a game that surprised nobody. The Baltimore looked a little off, but they really honestly don't need their A game to beat Cincinnati.
No, they have their C game. They could still beat the Bengals.
I mean, they thrashed them.
I think Burrow's a good talent, but it's just the Ravens are just on another level than the Bengals are. Everybody's better than the Bungles. I mean, it's just like, it's the Bengals. They got nothing on that defense that can stop Baltimore, and Burrow can only do so much with his offense.
Yeah, and Cincinnati couldn't run the ball very well. Joe Mixon had 24 carries for 59 yards. If you can't run the ball against the Ravens, you're dead. And then Lamar Jackson, again, not having his A game. His B game is good enough to beat a lot of teams in this league. So, tough day for the Bengals, but there'll be better days ahead. They're not obviously going to be a factor this year, but they're gonna mess with a few teams anyway. The Ravens, it's big because of that loss by the Chiefs. It kind of gets them back into the top seed race, and a lot of other teams are in that race, but we'll get to more of that later as we go. Jaguars and Texans. Texans win at 30-14. They get their first win of the year.
Ugly.
Romeo Crennel takes over the reins there and gets his first W. Not a lot to say about this game, Grant. It just wasn't very good football.
It wasn't a good football game. It's like when Red Zone would show that game. Like, get it off the screen. Like, I just don't care about that game. It was like, great, Houston won. We're happy for you. Move on.
We're happy that Brandon Cooks finally showed up after being in the witness protection program the first 4 weeks of the season. 8 catches, 161 yards. Of course, the week after I waved him off my fantasy roster. David Johnson, 17 carries, 96 yards. Deshaun Watson had a nice day, 3 touchdowns. Did throw 2 picks, but against the punchless Jaguars, who I really thought after their first game of the year they might be going somewhere, but
nope,
not happening. Gardner Minshew had to throw the ball almost 50 times. James Robinson continues to play well, but he can't carry an offense. It's just not happening.
No, nope, I think they have DJ Chark with him, what, 6 fantasy points last
DJ
week?
DJ Chark.
He was not very good.
No.
It's just like... they have some pieces, but they need more on defense. They when you trade the last part of it away, I just don't know what else they can really do for themselves.
Second most surprising result of the weekend, Dolphins 43, 49ers 17. You called this one.
Got your asses kicked.
I don't know what happened to the 49ers.
Injuries, more defensive injuries.
Garoppolo looked terrible. Got benched for CJ Beathard.
You got beat by the Bison.
And just awful play. what do you think is, I mean, other than the injury, it can't be just injuries. I mean.
Oh, yeah, that's most of it. When you can't stop anybody, I mean, that Niners team was so good last year based on defense. The only reason Garoppolo was good was because of the running game and defense. If you make Garoppolo throw the ball consistently, you're going to beat him.
The 49ers have not beaten a credible opponent all year. Their two wins are against the 0-5 Jets and the 0-5 Giants.
Yeah, that's never going
to
beat the Jets.
They've lost to the Eagles, Cardinals. Now, Niners next four. Rams.
Loss.
Patriots.
Loss.
Seahawks.
Loss.
And Packers.
Loss.
Saints.
Loss.
Rams.
Loss.
Bills.
Loss.
Was that 7 in a row?
Yep.
They very realistically will not be favored to win any of these games.
They could be 2-9. Well, by the time
quick count of math here says that's 7 in a row we just rattled off there. They're 2-3 now. They could easily be 2-10 by the time they get to Washington, and then their schedule gets Washington and then the Cowboys. Could be a 6-win team at best.
I don't think I'd say that for a defending NFC champion.
Yeah,
that's just bad.
It's rough. But let's give kudos too to the Dolphins, who are 2-3 and. Look, they're not going to set the world on fire, but now they got the Jets next week.
Win.
And then it's Rams, Cardinals, Chargers, which might be a little tough, but they're going to hang around. And I don't know how long it's going to take for the Tua experiment to begin, but probably not going to be for a few more weeks anyway. Browns 32, Colts 23. This was
The Browns, I think, are actually a real playoff team now.
I'm going to have to eat my words on that one because I didn't think that this team was credibly good enough.
Even though Baker Mayfield tried to lose that game in every sense of the word.
Yeah, and again, that is what will get him in the end is Baker Mayfield's a moron. But
who worries will drop his keys at the front of the stadium. Right.
But they really, again, without Nick Chubb in the lineup.
They're a different football team.
They made Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry made some great catches. They really have an offensive identity now that they can rely on, but I'm not disappointed in the Colts because I think the Colts, it shows what happens when the Colts get behind, their formula doesn't work. They can run the ball
really well,
and they can play good defense, but they got behind
fast. If you get them to pass the ball, I mean, I saw Myles Garrett just torch their offensive
line. He's playing like a man possessed.
I mean, the Colts' offensive line is the best in the NFL. No one can dispute that. They're one of the best. And the Browns' defensive line just got after Phillip Rivers. I mean, they just got after consistently. And I think there's, 10 hits I think they got on Rivers?
Yeah, they were on him all day.
They were on him all day. I think they only sacked him once.
They were on him like a dog on a three-legged cat. That's You like that one, don't you? So the Browns have the Steelers, Bengals, Raiders, Texans up. They should be able to win, at least split those, maybe go 3 out of 4. And then it's Eagles, Jaguars. Yeah, I mean, and they have the Jets. I think the Browns, I think I have to officially now think that they are definitely going to be a serious contender to make the playoffs.
Last time Kelly Holcomb was the quarterback. That's good along their way.
Good Lord. But Colts are going to be fine. They are, they're going to be a factor in the AFC South, although Tennessee could start to run away and put some separation here and there. But this is not an easy wild card run to make right now if you're the Colts, but I think they're going to be there at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Giants and Cowboys, we all know about this one. Cowboys, 37-34 winners. They do not cover again, which is amazing. The Cowboys, of course, lose Dak Prescott on a very severe ankle injury as of this morning. We don't know exactly
he's out for 6 months.
How long he's going to be gone, but we presume it's going to be for the season.
It's 6 months, yeah.
And I think, Grant, that having Andy Dalton...
It helps, but it's not Dak.
It doesn't change, though, how I think this team would do anyway. In the grand scheme of things, I don't think they're going to win any fewer games with Dalton in the lineup than they would with Dak.
They were supposed to win this game.
Yeah.
And they still almost lost this game because Daniel Jones was driving on your defense.
And again, their next four is Cardinals, Washington, Eagles, Steelers. They're going to split those games no matter what Dak Prescott's in.
Because I think the Eagles can still beat them with their practice squad receiving corps.
Right. And ultimately this is going to come down to what the Cowboys can do against bad teams. If they can beat the Giants again, if they can beat the Eagles twice, they could beat the 49ers. They've got some dog games on their schedule. They can go 8-8 with the schedule. That's really all they need.
They find a way to go 8-8. It's just really weird.
And that's why I'm saying they won't matter who the quarterback is.
Yeah, I get it, but it's just like the Cowboys just find a way to have a mediocre season.
Well, let's take a look. They're 2-3. Cardinals
win.
They're gonna beat the Cardinals.
Loss.
Okay. So keep track of the record. That's 2-4. Washington
win.
Eagles
loss.
At Eagles
loss.
Okay.
3-5.
Steelers.
3-6.
Washington. They'll win.
4-6.
Ravens.
4-7.
And here comes the run. Bengals.
5-7.
49ers.
6-7.
Eagles.
6-8.
Giants.
7-8.
I mean, and then they've got the Vikings. Not the last game, but they do have the Vikings.
They look like they could go 7-9.
I think they're not effing going 7-9. That's what I mean.
So
this is with Dalton in there.
Yeah.
I don't think my answers would change one way or the other based on Prescott.
Now that Dax, I think the Vikings would win that game.
I agree.
I think they have a really potent offense, and I totally agree with that. But you still can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's the Giants, but God, you can't allow the Giants to. If the Rams can hold them to 9 points, and their defense isn't much better than you. Well, I suppose it's the best defense in the NFC, but it's the Rams.
Yeah. Giants are going to win it. Giants are going to win a few games.
God, the Cowboys are pathetic on defense.
They are.
It's just.
And the Giants exploited them.
It's the Giants, for God's sakes.
Yeah, Darius Slayton played a nice game.
And they were a fake field goal from tying this game.
And which got called back on an illegal shift penalty.
It was a false start. They called legal shift, but it was a false start. I can't find words to explain how
Giants will win a few games. That we could talk Cowboys all day long, but inconsistent they are.
The defense sucks. I can't stand it.
By the way, Broncos Patriots got moved to next week. Later. That leads us into the Monday night game. Chargers and Saints. Boy, that was a good one. Chargers had a chance to win it in regulation, banging a kick off the upright.
Michael Badger, immediately
during the game, I said they should lose the game based on the nickname alone, and he did.
And he did.
Doinks it off the upright.
It was going straight upright.
Yeah.
That thing was not turning off course.
Saints got the ball first in overtime, drive down and get another Will Lutz field goal. Chargers come back down, and on a 4th-and-7 play, Michael Williams got 6¾ yards. Yeah. and unfortunately, Keenan Allen.
I know you don't like going for 4th-and-7, a 6-yard pass. But here's what I'm saying.
Well,
that was the right call, though. I mean, they brought the house, they run the slant, and Lattimore just made one hell of a tackle.
Yep, Lattimore made the play.
But that was the right call, though. I think the slant was the right call. Mike Williams, when it takes
zero issue with the call.
Yeah, it takes a man's man to bring him down, and Lattimore got him just before the first down.
Chargers are better than their record indicates at 1-4.
Justin Herbert is impressive.
He just doesn't have a ton of weapons. And
I mean, they're a failed lateral and a kick from being...
Okay. Well, but on the other side of it, if Randy Bullock doesn't pull his hamstring, they're 0-5, and again lost, then they would lose to the Bengals, too.
Bungles.
So the margin of error is so slim in this league. It's just crazy. We have not picked Bills Titans. Let's do that quick. The Titans, as of this morning... are a 3.5-point favorite.
The Titans are?
Yeah, I think so. have to look this up. Excuse me a moment here.
Okay.
Tennessee comes in undefeated.
Tennessee?
Yeah, Tennessee comes in undefeated.
Oh, they're unbeaten.
Yeah, they've only played three games.
I forgot they're unbeaten. That's right.
I'm sorry, Buffalo, 3.5-point favorite.
Yeah, Buffalo.
Who do you like? Buffalo, it's Buffalo minus a 3.5.
Is it at Orchard Park?
Over-under is 53. No, this is in Nashville.
It doesn't matter where it's going.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter where it's being played.
So who you got in this one? Buffalo minus a 3.5.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll take the over. We'll score enough.
Yeah, I'm going to take Buffalo here also.
I really want to differ, but the Bills are such a good defense.
Well, the Titans have been in it. I mean, I know it's all about bye weeks are good, but the last time the Titans suited up was against the Vikings, and that was a couple weeks back.
And they were a botched snap from losing that
game. Yeah, I think the Bills' momentum will keep it going here. I like that, too. I'm going to take the Bills.
I really want to differ, but... Buffalo's a better football.
Yeah, Bills minus 3.5 in this one for Tuesday Night Football. So that put us at the legend wins the week.
What were you?
I was below 500.
You were 5-8.
I was 5-8. You're 7-6. So not a great weekend there, but
it doesn't matter if both of us lose. It's when I win and you lose that makes it work. The week goes
to the legend. The season still.
When you were bragging last week, oh, I win all the weeks, so I got you this week.
3-1-1 for the weeks. The Loudmouth leads by 2 games overall in the picks contest for the year.
I'm getting there.
So you've made up some ground. Kudos to you for that. And because I'm angry about that, I need to be angry about a few other things. So,
part 2 of Loudmouth Rants.
Let me just give you the Loudmouth Rant for the week here. Watching football now again has reminded me of some things that I absolutely hate. And I'm going to go off on a little bit of a rant here because I get tired of seeing the same shit week after week after week. First of all, the Taysom Hill, Jalen Hurts... backup quarterback package garbage plays. Get rid of them. They suck. I know Taysom Hill scored on his little garbage touchdown run last night. Jalen Hurts comes in and throws a pass. Yay! I hate the package plays. I hate them so much.
Here's the problem though with that. That's gonna happen even more when Breeze retires.
Oh, it's gonna be worse.
Because it's gonna be the Jameis Winston show with Taysom Hill.
I hate the package garbage plays.
Start the car.
I mean, comes in for one or two plays, most of which don't work, by the way.
Yeah.
And it's just like running the Wildcat. Who was my boy Ronnie Brown? Remember Ronnie Brown?
Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams.
Ronnie Brown didn't do squat in this league, but run the Wildcat.
He was a top 5 pick.
It's gadget play crap. I hate that. Speaking of things I also hate, the third down give up draw play on third and 16.
That's a classic Viking play.
Come on.
Can you at least try?
The Vikings have run the give up draw at least 10 times this year.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to get 5 yards and punt.
Friggin' nuts.
I'm like, could you at least try to get the first? It's third and 11. You can still get that.
And I know that the teams, like you talked about the play where last night where it's 4th and 7 and they ran the route. And it was shorter than the line to gain.
But that's okay.
That's a different deal.
No, that's okay.
When it's 3rd and 10 and you run an 8-yard square in, drives me insane. That's just not well-coached football.
Vikings do that all the time.
That is not well-coached football. You have to have situational awareness, and that is coaching 101. You can't run an 8-yard route on 3rd and 10. You can't. You are asking receivers to do too much in today's game by doing that. I hate it.
You're asking them to break a tackle after that, too. Like, don't make them have... I mean, Adam Thielen can get 10 yards. He's a great route runner. If he runs an out route that gets you 11 yards, because he's one of the best out route receivers in the league, just get him on an out route, he can get a break a tackle and he can score.
Other things I hate. The Seahawks offense. I hate it.
I never got beat by it.
I call it bullshit ball, and the reason is because it's the deep ball. Now, the Vikings actually did a pretty good job, and I wonder if teams will do this. They played the two
deep safeties.
They played a deep cover, too, and really took away Seattle's ability to throw the really deep ball, of course, until the final friggin' drive.
Mainly to help the corners out.
And that worked. And Russell Wilson, it's bomb it deep, it's... hope for pass interference or a big catch because he can scramble around, but I hate that offense. It and it it bothers me. It's annoying. But it's an annoying offense
but
to lose.
But the Vikings, their corners are getting better.
Well, they have to. They can't get any worse.
Well, they're getting better.
Because one of the reasons is that they aren't getting called for bullshit illegal contact penalties, which is the other thing I
there
hate.
There wasn't one in the game.
No. I hate the automatic first down on a 3rd and 19 bullshit ball, and it gets wound up being called, defensive hold. I almost think they should take away some of the automatic fouls on...
Well, I don't think illegal contact should be...
I am of the opinion that some penalties, and I don't want to get into too much of this today, but some of these penalties should be 5 yards and replay the down instead of the automatic first down penalty.
Yeah.
I also don't like the inconsistency of the target. They have the targeting rule in the NFL that New York can call them out and, take them out of the game.
If you're going on your next one, you have roughing the passer on there?
No, I don't. But
That's mine that's on there because... Can someone clarify what roughing the passer is?
Nobody knows what it is.
Yeah, C.J. Beathard just got hugged by a defensive lineman, and that was roughing the passer. So, I mean, because Brady gets hit on the arm, that's a roughing the passer penalty. Right. So, Clay Matthews got called on it twice against Washington. Kirk Cousins, he did the next week against the Vikes the next week. Can someone tell me what it is? If you're driving him into the ground, you can't stop yourself once you get to the quarterback. It's really hard to get your hands up and not touch him.
Right.
Because it's like, you can't touch the quarterback no matter what. You just got to get your hands up and slide away from him in order to stop him from getting rough, from touching him.
A few other college notes from the weekend. I hate stopping the clock every time there's a friggin' first down and moving the chains. You don't need to. People can move. They don't do it in the NFL. This is major college football. They don't need to stop the clock to move the chains. Honestly. It's why college games go 4.5 friggin' hours.
And overtime tax on there.
Well, that's my next one. The overtime rule sucks. I hate it worse now because, first of all, they have this goofy thing after 5 overtimes where you have to go for 2 and they just keep alternating 2-point conversions.
That's
instead
fine.
Of that. I don't like that. Play to the end.
Can we just do that?
I think they should go for 2 in the first overtime. Forget the extra points entirely. I think they should just, even after a couple overtimes, I say forget it. Just go and go for 2 every time after the point after. You want to end games quicker? Do it that way. Go for 2 in the first overtime and the second overtime. Don't wait till the third overtime to start it. Go right away. You got a problem with that one?
No.
It's stupid. I think they should outlaw field goals in overtime too.
Just do NFL rules.
I don't know. I don't like that. And then a couple other NFL related things, and some of them are announcer related. But first of all, my deep affection for Lamar Jackson. Sarcasm deeply intended.
Yes.
The ultimate.
He's grown off on me. It's just like, I watch Mahomes and I'm like, he's a magician out there, and then Lamar's a running back.
Lamar can't throw the ball accurately. And until he learns to throw the ball accurately, the hype train, he's on the cover of Madden, he's got all this, that's
I,
all.
I jumped off.
That's all well
I,
and good.
I jumped off after the Chiefs lost.
I said he ain't won shit, and he hasn't.
I know, I'm not trying to compare Manning and Brady to Lamar and...
Well, and I'm not comparing him to Aaron Rodgers either.
But it's the next great rivalry in the NFL between the two quarterbacks.
That is media hype crap. Until Lamar wins one of those games.
Well, yeah, but they're the top two quarterbacks in this league, aren't Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the top four quarterbacks, and they're the best two in each conference. So it's like, they're all media darlings too, all four of them.
Mm. We'll see. Other two things, announcer related, that I hate to wrap up my top 10 here. Stop calling it the quarterback room, the defensive end room, the wide receiver room.
It's a group.
It isn't the room. I don't care what's going on in the wide receiver room.
We're in a room.
I don't know why that annoys me so much, but they're in the room. Shut up. It's not a room.
You're a group. The wide receiver group.
The wide receiver room. It's like this inside baseball comment that I just can't stand. Oh, in the wide receiver room. No, they don't. That's not what they do. Tell me, also, by the way, the number one hate on my list from watching enough football this week to dial up a blitz, to dial up my deep ball, dial up pressure. Nobody uses. Half the kids in America don't even know what dial up means. They don't have a rotary phone.
I do.
Have you seen the YouTube video of the kids trying to make a phone call with the rotary phone? It's a hoot.
Isn't it like
7? Yeah, they have no idea what they're doing.
Oh.
Yeah. So nobody's dialing up. Don't be knocking the microphone over. Sorry. Don't get excited.
Sorry.
Nobody dials up anything. Sorry. It just drives me insane because I hear it every single week. Oh, they got to dial up the pressure. Great.
just say they're going to bring the house here.
They're gonna call a blitz. They're going to bring pressure. Let's dial it up. It's a meaningless phrase of football jockocracy that I hate. I'm not dialing up anything. All right, I'm done. Dial up drives me crazy.
Also, another one that's on my list. What is intentional rounding? Do we not know what that is? Because I feel like there are points
as long as he gets out of the pocket, you're fine.
Yeah, I don't. That almost never happens, and then they're like, "Oh, he's good." I'm like, stupid. What the hell?
Stupid. So, just looking at the NFL standings, quick as we rant, we're down now to 5 unbeaten's. We've got Seattle, Buffalo, Green Bay, Pittsburgh, and Tennessee.
Pittsburgh will not last.
Well, obviously, Buffalo or Tennessee, one of those teams will go away. So we'll have 4 unbeaten's.
Pittsburgh and Tennessee won't last much longer.
And the way this is shaping up, it'll be Seattle and Green Bay will be the two tops in the NFC. And then Buffalo and the winner of tonight's game. And then you've got the Rams, the Chiefs, Rams, Ravens, Bears, and Browns at 4-1. We've got Saints, Raiders, Cardinals, Bucks, Colts, Panthers, 3-2, New England's 2-2. You got Dallas, Miami, 49ers at 2-3, Bengals, Eagles, 1-3-1, Broncos, Lions, 1-3, Chargers, 1-4, Washington, 1-4, Houston, Vikings, Jacksonville, 1-4, and then the winless club, Atlanta, the Giants.
And the Jets.
And that is your week in the National.
The Vikings are still much better than 1-4. It's just
not right now. They're not.
Can you just get Trey now? Like,
yeah, not happening.
Can you just draft him now.
Let's go to the college ranks. Well, we had some ball games this weekend, didn't we?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what my favorite game of the weekend was, but the Red River Rivalry. Red River Shootout, whatever we call it.
The Red River Crapshoot, that's what I want to call that game.
That's Oklahoma 53, Texas 45. Quite the ball game there. Now, again, neither of these teams is going to wind up in the national championship picture, but that was entertaining.
Because of both of two losses?
Right. Some really great Sam Erlinger and Spencer Rattler with a duel.
He sucks.
Yeah, well, not that bad anyway. Not enough to win that game. Texas A&M surprises Florida, who was number 4 in the country. North Carolina's going top 5, baby. Let's go. Mac Brown turning that around. A couple other games of note.
Big Clemson been talking about North Carolina.
How did Missouri beat LSU exactly?
I don't think LSU's that good anymore.
Man. I feel bad for Jabril Cox, man. Like he,
it's like he, went along going back to back national championship. Wait, whoops, sorry, you suck.
Yeah, that was awful. Georgia beats the crap out of Tennessee after it was pretty even early. Then Tennessee became Tennessee again. Bad there. Auburn wins over Arkansas in a close one. Alabama and Ole Miss with the most entertaining game of the weekend.
That's because two coaches hate each other.
I don't think they hate each other. I think there's mutual respect there.
Lane Kiffin's like blaming that they're stealing their signs, and I'm like, really, Lane? That's what we're going out? You want to beat them so bad they're going to blame the other team for stealing signs? Really?
I thought it was.
You could have kept going back and forth with them, but your offense finally stalled out.
They certainly play an entertaining brand of football, Ole Miss. They run the hurry-up gimmick offense, and it works. And Alabama, of course, and with Najee Harris, just running the ball down their throats repeatedly.
He looks like Trent Richardson to me. Najee Harris. He reminds me of a college Trent Richardson.
That doesn't bode well for his future career, does it?
I know. Is this what he looks like to me? He looks just like Trent Richardson. He's got the long hair, runs for a lot of yards at Bama. I'm like, I don't know, I feel like he's not got a very good NFL career.
Yeah, I wouldn't totally disagree with that.
I mean, since Derrick Henry and Mark Ingram, that hasn't really been a great running back to come out of Bama.
Really? Really?
Not that I can think of. That's just one that comes off the top of my head that you can think of.
So, you don't think that in the last, I don't know, umpty-ump years?
Last 5 years, that's my really good running back.
Okay. All right. Not like Alabama's had a history of good running backs or anything.
They've had a couple good ones, but I'm just...
Yeah, they've had a few.
Like, in the past 5 years, I can't think of anybody that's had a really good backup.
You don't think Sherman Williams was that good? Remember Eddie Lacy?
He sucked. He had one good season.
He had one good season, yeah.
He ate himself.
T.J. Yeldon's still playing.
Come on. He's been on the Jags roster for like 18 years now.
You never saw Bobby Humphrey play.
I never did, you're correct.
So, you're right, but... Yeah, Sean Alexander, he was pretty good.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
Yeah. Mark Ingram's pretty good.
Yeah, I said Mark.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying.
I said Derrick Henry.
I'm just saying. Just slow your roll a little bit. They've got some pretty decent ball players.
They have a couple good ones. It's like, if you want to draft Bama guys on defense.
Bama guys are safe choices.
Not offense.
Safe choices. I mean,
maybe the receivers, but not the quarterback and not the running back.
They're safe. They're safe.
Yeah.
They're safe choices, and that's really all you can ask for. I don't think that the overwhelming majority of people would say that the Alabama quarterbacks are anything to write home about.
God, no.
But I certainly think that they've
When was the last good one? Joe Namath? Ken Stabler? Richard Todd?
I would say Richard Todd's in that category. That's for sure. But, yeah, you can't exactly run through a whole list.
AJ McCarron.
Yeah, I guess
Greg McElroy.
I guess he's McElroy.
I can't.
Isn't he a color guy now for
ESPN? I still can't pronounce his name correctly. It looks like McElroy. It's McElroy.
That's because it's too early in the morning for you. That's why. So that's probably what the issue is there. So that covers the college football weekend. We're, again, getting closer to having everything start for the big leagues, or for the big conferences again, the Pac-12 and the Big Ten coming online here pretty soon, and then we'll probably have a whole new slate of games to talk about. So it's going to be fun coming up in the next few weeks as those leagues return to action. Let's move to the diamond here. Big night for the Atlanta Braves. We've got 4 in the ninth to steal game 1 of the National League Championship.
Finally break through and reach a World Series for the first time since 1996.
We'll see. The interesting thing about the Braves, though, is I think their bullpen's really good, and last night, no exception, they've got that something, I think.
Last night proved that pitching, that if you have really good relief pitching, you're going to go really far in these playoffs. I mean, look at Atlanta. Their bullpen was excellent. And the Rays were even better. I mean, I think the Astros, they're good, but that Rays bullpen is better. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Well,
I kept thinking the Rays are going to get beat before they get to the ALCS, but they haven't. I have the Yankees take them out. They didn't.
Well,
so I'm just like, the Rays are, they're like a brand of misfits. Because their entire team doesn't make as much money as Jose Altuve does in a season.
Well, but if you look at that, their line, I mean, you got Acuna, you got Freeman, who's a pretty damn good ball player. Ozzie Albies, Markakis, who's been around for a long time.
Nick Markakis?
Yep. And they've certainly got the bullpen to win this series. Now, Walker Buehler pitched well last night, but again, they got into the bullpen and they got into Blake Treinen, and that's when the onslaught began. But Dodgers, obviously, they'll be able to bring Kershaw. And now there's, again, stop me if you've heard this before, a lot of pressure on Clayton Kershaw to win this game here and save.
The Braves will win game 2. Okay.
Wow.
Hot take. Yeah, they're going to win game 2.
Wow. You're calling it right now?
Yes.
Okay.
It's Clayton Kershaw.
Even though they're pitching against Kershaw?
It's Kershaw in the playoffs.
Okay.
If the Nationals can beat him, I think this Braves is much better than
Dodgers get this one tonight.
No.
Dodgers will win this one.
No.
Tampa Bay goes up 2-0 on Houston, and maybe the magic's finally run out for the Astros and the trash can lids this time, Grant.
Yeah. And
Rays look really good.
Yeah, the Rays, I didn't think they'd be that good. It turns out they're really good, and I severely questioned their ability to hit the ball because I thought their bullpen was just that good. But it turns out their offense is pretty damn good, too. And I respect anybody who can beat the Yankees in a series, and they did it. So I'm totally okay with the Rays winning that series.
Okay. And lastly, we have to talk about...
Yay, Braun Braun! Yay!
Last time I had to play this theme.
Braun Braun! Yay!
I hate LeBron.
Number four.
That's great. I hate to go all Skip Bayless here, but LeBron got an easy road to the finals. He didn't have to play the Clippers. He didn't have to play any road games, essentially.
Still a title.
He got a number five seed on the opposite side of the bracket that got lucky and needed superhuman performances from one player just to stay in the series. And he had to have Anthony Davis. And again, full props to LeBron for winning, but let's put it all in the context. And of course, LeBron, now the first athlete to, when asked about winning the championship, he is getting out of Disney World, not going to Disney World. So I'm glad the NBA season is over. I don't have to watch fouls to give, 30-second timeouts, ISO ball, and I can look at
people said LeBron can win a title in the West. Well, he did. So, I mean, he won a title in both conferences. So
it isn't the West. It isn't the West. No, this isn't the real West. He doesn't
win. Yes, it is.
The West at full strength?
He beat Denver.
He beat Denver. Is that what's going to be on this season? He beat Denver.
He beat some of the best they had to offer.
You think, on an honest question.
Okay.
Take Curry and Thompson, Draymond.
Braun and Davis. Yeah, I'll take the Lakers.
You take the Lakers series?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would.
That's a discussion for another day, because I don't think there's any way that... No.
Curry's BS keeps the Warriors in any game they
play. Would they have beaten Durant? Add Durant, do you think they win that series?
Maybe. It's a big maybe.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, that's a big maybe.
Okay.
Because now LeBron is a really good sidekick by his side. Kevin Love is not a great sidekick. Kyrie Irving was an okay sidekick.
Kyrie Irving won him that series.
He did win him that series, that's true. But Davis is the best co-star he's ever had. And it showed.
Better than Kyrie?
Yes, he's better than Kyrie. Kyrie's got great handles, but he's injured too often.
I think Davis...
He's been injured the past four seasons.
I think what's developed for Davis over the last
is a shot. Is
a three-pointer. Because that, to me, was the big difference in the series, is that he was able to make threes. And, of course, my boy Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Kentavious! KCP.
Yeah, but the Lakers in this postseason, like, oh, here comes Damian Lillard, who has willed the team to the playoffs, takes game one, gentleman sweep the other four games.
That's right, they call it the gentleman
sweep.
Yeah,
he gets to Houston, this vaunted James Harden offense.
By the way, I did like the fact, just to close it out, that J.R. Smith's shirt was off, like, within, even before the final buzzer sound, that his shirt's already off.
You pointed that out.
That was fantastic. So kudos to the Lakers, your 2020 NBA champions. It only took, I mean, literally almost an entire calendar year for them to win the title, if you think about it, when the season started in October.
Over a year
to
finish this season.
I think it was 355 days, I think, is what it officially was, because the NBA season doesn't start till the end of October.
They count the preseason. They count the preseason. So
it's been a long year. We'll see how I believe they're going to do the draft in November. And probably won't tip off until Christmas, at least.
I think it was last week, you kept quizzing about who the Wolves going to take.
Yeah, because
you're asking me about the Wolves.
Well, I'm curious, because now that discussion will come up, because that's really the next big event.
I really want that pick traded, because there isn't a consensus number one pick. There isn't. I mean, Edwards is he's the number one, but you can make a pick that if the Warriors have the number one pick, they'd take Wiseman, and if the Bulls have the one pick, they would take Obi Toppin. Like, there's so many other options for them to take.
Well, we'll have plenty of time to dive into the NBA draft discussion at a later point, but last time we're going to talk about basketball for the year here, at least for a while, and then we'll of course still stay tuned and see what's going to happen in the college ranks this year. Nobody has a real good idea and a handle as to what's going to happen with the indoor sports coming up. Well, the sun's coming up. That means we're going out. Time to get busy. Hey, get in touch with the show. Our email, legendintheloudmouth@gmail.com. That's legendintheloudmouth@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter @LegendLoudmouth. That's @LegendLoudmouth. And check out our website, legendintheloudmouth.com. That's legendintheloudmouth.com for links to our previous shows. Grant, how do we find you?
Follow me on Instagram, Snapchat @GrantLegend. Follow me on TikTok @GrantLegend. And follow us on Instagram @Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. That's Legend_Loudmouth_Pod. DM us if you like the show. Hit the show. We encourage DM us, please.
Please subscribe to our podcast anywhere you can find
And our YouTube channel.
And our YouTube channel. Anchor, YouTube, please look us up. Subscribe when new episodes hit. You'll be the first to know, especially when we do our Tuesday morning hits like we're doing now. Thanks for listening, everybody. We will preview the week 6 in the NFL coming up. We've got some college games to go forward with. As always, it'll be busy with Major League Baseball playoffs heading on towards the middle of the league championship series. Hey, we got you covered all over the places, on the diamond, on the court, on the field. Anyway, it's the legend and the loudmouth. Have a good day, everybody.